Before we get into today's episode, I do want to come on and give a trigger warning for sensitive content. This podcast does discuss experiences with eating disorders and sexual assault, so please use caution when listening. Hi everyone, it's your host Amy Geckel and welcome to the first official episode of The Eating Disorder Diaries. I know it's quite the name for a podcast, but let me tell you how I came up with it. This podcast is about my 16-year experience with bulimia and my life in recovery. I also journal a lot, so the name felt fitting. My goal for this podcast is to break the taboo of eating disorders and for you to take something away from my experience to help you on your own journey. Whether you're someone who's struggling from an eating disorder or know someone who is, my hope is that you learn something that I've learned along the way and you can apply it in your own life. If you are struggling with an eating disorder right now, I want you to know that you're not alone. I want you to know that eating disorders aren't as taboo as you think they are. I know what it's like to feel isolated, but also to feel the shame and embarrassment at having an eating disorder and to feel helpless, like you're just spiraling out of control and can't possibly get a grip on this thing. My eating disorder started when I was 13. I'm 30 now, and I've spent the better part of the last year in recovery. Maybe you're surprised because a year doesn't seem that long. While my behaviors with bulimia haven't been a daily occurrence in several years, the eating disorder would always find a way to rear its head here and there, some periods longer than others. When I was in the depths of my eating disorder, I was binging and purging multiple times a day, every single day. This went on for years. It wasn't until the last year, year and a half, that I really kicked up my healing a notch, and I was able to understand myself differently, face more of my trauma, and really establish this newfound loving relationship with myself, and I want to share what I've learned. I've finally been able to get to this point of recovery, and I want to help save people from what I went through, or at least get you thinking differently about what's going on with you, because there are ways to get the help you need. I really think there are things you're going to be able to take away from this podcast, because if you are someone that feels like you won't ever be able to get rid of your ED, I'm here to tell you that's just not true. There is such a thing as a life without your eating disorder. There is such a thing as being able to change your thoughts, and there's a lot of science and studies to back it up. I'm here to tell you that you can, because I did, and I'm here to talk about how. We'll be back right after this break. If you're like me and love podcasts, you've probably considered starting a podcast of your own. I can tell you that starting this podcast has been one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. I use the website Buzzsprout to upload all of my shows and get my episodes listed in every major platform. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch a professional podcast. When I conceptualized the idea of my podcast, I had no idea where to get started. I bought a mic, wrote some episodes, but then what? Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help get you started, from marketing your podcast to monetizing it to optimizing your SEO. You also get a website where you can link your social media handles and get detailed analytics to see how and where people are listening. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get started on your podcast. Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know I sent you and gets you a $20 credit if you sign up for a paid plan. Thanks for supporting the show, and let's create something great together. In this series, I'm going to go into detail about how I was able to get to a point of recovery with my bulimia, and I also interview others in my life to get their perspectives on how they've seen me change and evolve over the years. I interview everyone from my parents to my sister, my therapist, my friends, among others. I really hope that this series gives you a different perspective, or at least leaves you with something to think about. And I also want the podcast to give off support group vibes. I personally go to a local support group, and it's really changed my life being able to connect with others in my community on such a deep level and just really know that you're not alone in this struggle. So I hope the podcast gives you a sense of that. I'll be releasing new episodes for the series bi-weekly on Tuesdays, but I wanted to drop three with this initial launch just to give you a taste of what I'm going to be talking about. So let's get into the first episode. I want to start this series by going back to the beginning for me. I'll give you more about my backstory and break down how my eating disorder started, how it progressed, and how I finally got to a point of recovery. I was born and raised in Michigan in the United States, and I spent my first 25 years in Michigan before moving to Denver, Colorado, which is where I live now. I kind of bounced around a lot at different schools growing up. I went to a charter school, public schools, Catholic schools, and I'll go into the why of that a little later on. I was also a pretty active kid growing up. I played soccer, I danced, I was a cheerleader, and I was also in local theater. It wasn't until I was in seventh grade that I really started acting out, which probably felt very unusual and shocking to my parents because I'd always been a pretty good and obedient kid. For several years before I was in seventh grade, I was repeatedly sexually assaulted by someone close to me. And I think that with seventh grade being the year that I was hitting puberty and getting my period, a lot of what had happened in the past started to bubble up and make itself known. At the time, of course, I didn't understand any of this, and this is coming from the perspective of me, you know, two decades later. So let me tell you what I remember about seventh grade. I remember I was a book smart kid. I had skipped fourth grade because I started my early education at a charter school where they kind of teach you at your own pace. So in third grade, I was probably doing fifth grade math and reading. So anyways, my parents made the decision to switch my sister and I over to the public school near our house. And after a few tests, and probably to the pride of my parents at the time, I ended up skipping the fourth grade. Years later, my dad told me that around the time, he saw me go from a leader to a follower, and in retrospect, would have liked to see me stay in classes with those who were the same age as me, rather than a year older. And this isn't a knock to my dad, because it was true. By the time I reached seventh grade, middle school, I was a year younger than everyone else, and my body was maturing, but also starting to process what had happened to me. So I acted out a lot. I would compulsively lie to my parents and everyone about everything. And I mean everything from my grades to what I was doing after school to what I was eating. I was just out of control. And I was doing poorly in my classes. Looking back, I feel a lot of compassion for that girl. I can only imagine what was going on in my brain at any given moment. I think the lying was allowing me to live in this fantasy world and give me a means of survival because I couldn't process the reality of being abused. So others in my life definitely felt the impacts of me lying and acting out, in particular my parents. At the end of seventh grade, I can't remember exactly what went down, but it was the last day of school. My mom picked me up, and it was just the final straw. She said she was switching me over to the Catholic school. So I made the switch to the Catholic school, and it was honestly a good, fresh start for me in a lot of ways. I made a new group of friends. I was doing well in classes. I think my parents saw less lying. I was Cinderella in the school play. I think it did positively impact me at the time. My body was also definitely changing and maturing at that point. That was probably the year I started wearing a bra, shaving, wearing makeup, and really started caring about what I looked like. At the end of eighth grade, right before high school, I got wind of these girls making themselves throw up. I was 13. I can't tell you exactly what motivated me at the time to replicate that, but after the first time, it very quickly became my addiction. And it didn't get better from there. It wasn't until a few months later in my freshman year of high school that my family confronted me about it. I think it was finally at a point where they repeatedly heard me. The specifics are a little blurry to me at this point, but I think my sister told my mom, who quickly took action and got me into therapy and seeing a nutritionist. So I went to therapy, and I went to my nutritionist, and I lied to them. I was in ninth grade and still nowhere near in a place where my brain could talk about what had happened to me. I was also being asked by my nutritionist to write down everything I ate in a journal. And I very specifically remember before each session jotting down like a glass of milk, a peanut butter sandwich. And it just wasn't the fix for me at the time. But I want to give a lot of credit to my mom. It was 2007 and we didn't have access to social media or the online content we do now. Eating disorders definitely weren't talked about. And I know my mom was probably very scared and sad, and she did the right thing by sending me to all of these specialists. I just wasn't even in a place where I could start to pinpoint or talk about the root cause of the issue. So I probably went to the therapist and nutritionist for a few months, and I convinced them I was cured. But I definitely wasn't. I continued to struggle really significantly for the next 8 years or so. I was bulimic throughout the remainder of high school and throughout college. And it wasn't until after graduating college and going to several different therapists of my own choosing that I was able to start to really heal and take my control back. I want to say, though, that looking back, there were definitely people in my life who knew I was still struggling, but it just wasn't something we could talk about. It was taboo. It still feels taboo. And in a lot of ways, I get it because it's not an easy thing to talk about. It's not easy to tell someone you have suspicions they're making themselves throw up or that you heard them, especially when there are chances that that person is going to deny it. It's also not easy to be the person going through it. It's isolating. For me personally, I felt embarrassed to tell others my life. It was a problem for me. Basically, I figured everyone would be like, still? You're still making yourself throw up? Or something like, why don't you just stop? And I didn't want to disappoint them. If this sounds like you or someone you know, I want to stress the seriousness of eating disorders. Eating disorders are the most deadly mental illness. They're life-consuming. You can't just stop. You don't just wait a few months for it to go away and think things will just miraculously get better. For me personally, it took years and years of different therapies and facing my trauma head-on to even start getting to a point where I could stop. I started going to therapy by choice after college, and around that time is also when I started getting into some of my first serious relationships with men. In high school and college, I would date guys. And I use that term really loosely because I was in such a low place mentally and lacked any self-esteem that I would date people who were just so low themselves and really mistreated me or took advantage of me. After college, I moved to the Metro Detroit area, and it was the first time in my life I had lived alone. So while I was still struggling with the eating disorder, it was also the first time in my life I felt my first taste of true independence. I think I saw pretty quickly that my independence turned into codependence because in my 20s, I was definitely a serial dater. I would find someone, immediately fall for them on like date number one or two, and then I would date them for an extended period of time before turning around and repeating the cycle again. You hear all the time that you can't love someone else until you love yourself, and I think I struggled with that in the majority of my relationships in my 20s. I was fortunately at a point where I was able to talk about the eating disorder with the people I was dating, but it wasn't until I met the person I was engaged to the first time that I started going to a therapist that specialized in eating disorders from his encouragement. I'm no longer with that person, but I want to give them a lot of credit for helping me with my eating disorder throughout the time we were together. At the end of the day, I wasn't in a headspace where I could commit to myself, much less to him, and I was unfaithful. I think deep down, my gut was telling me this wasn't the right relationship or the right time, and that I had more healing to do. But instead of ending things, I went elsewhere to fill the void. In some ways, this feels like airing my dirty laundry, but I want to give you my real life examples because life is messy, eating disorders are messy, and sometimes we do things we're not proud of. But I wasn't honoring myself or that relationship at all. I wasn't being authentic to myself. Recently, I listened to Jane Fonda on Call Her Daddy speak about her own experience with bulimia, and one of the things she talked about was having bulimia when she wasn't living authentically. And that really resonated with me because I think by staying in these past relationships that I knew deep down weren't serving me was only prolonging the time it was taking for me to truly heal from my eating disorder. I'm engaged again now to a man named Brendan. It was pretty undeniable from the time that we first met that this was different. It felt like I had known this person before and he felt it too. But I'm not blind to the fact that this immediate falling for someone was not unlike the patterns in my relationships prior. But now the circumstances were different. When we met, we weren't living in the same state, and I still needed to work through a lot of the guilt I felt from my past relationship, even though on that same note, it felt like I had been checked out of it for so long. While I think we both knew we were in this for the long haul right away, before he moved to Colorado, I started seeing a different therapist and took up two things that I majorly credit to getting me to a point of recovery, which are journaling and meditating. I lived alone again. And now this was during COVID, so I was able to spend the majority of my time alone and with my dog, Lucy. This period of time was critical for me and for the work I needed to do on myself. I think meeting Brendan really forced me to confront a lot of my issues head on because I wanted to make the relationship work, but I also really wanted to love myself and heal myself above it all. I told him on date number two or three that I had been molested and had battled an eating disorder for almost 15 years at that point. He buckled up. I think we both did. We both worked really hard on ourselves and on the relationship to get to the point where we are now. But I think what's important is that we never had any doubts about each other. It was true love. It's cosmic. It feels cosmic still. It got me believing in divine timing. I was finally being authentic to myself and not lying to myself to stay in a relationship that I was just comfortable with or felt guilty leaving. We got engaged a year and a half after he moved to Colorado. Since then, I've started seeing another new therapist who I interview in the series, and in coming episodes, I plan to talk in a lot more detail about my experience with therapists because I've had my fair share over the years and I want to talk about what's worked, what hasn't worked, what I've learned, all of it. And that really leads us to where we are today. So where am I now? I'd say I'm on a continuous healing journey in my eating disorder recovery. Brendan and I are living together in downtown Denver. We have two dogs now that Nala's joined the tribe, and we're getting married next summer, 2024. It's been almost a year since I last relapsed, and it had been almost a year before that relapse. It's a work in progress, but I'm doing so much better. Once in a while, I still feel like I have dark moments, but I'm good about taking a step back and observing myself and observing why I might be feeling uncomfortable in my body. And I now have so many tools in my toolbox that I'm able to bounce back really quickly. I now feel safe in my body. I don't make myself throw up. I know I can trust myself and I work on myself every day. I meditate and journal every single day. I go to weekly therapy. I have such a deeper level of understanding myself that it feels like I'm constantly peeling back more layers. And I think that comes with age, but I think that also comes with putting in the work. And I'm happy with that. In the next episode, I'm going to talk about the shame behind eating disorders and share a lot of the statistics I've found on eating disorders. Between how common they are to how long they last to how they're treated, the studies are really eye-opening. I'm also going to talk more about how I've got into the headspace that I'm at now. I think by understanding that you're not alone in this thing and hearing from others who are on their healing journey can allow us to really break the taboo and lessen the shame that you feel behind your eating disorder and help us all come out on the other side. I want to wrap up this segment by talking about one thing I do weekly that's relatively new for me, and that's going to a local eating disorder support group here in Denver. I spent a long time thinking that going to a support group would be a good idea, but never actually biting the bullet. I can confidently say that choosing to finally go was one of the best decisions I ever made for myself. Going has quickly become the highlight of my week. Some weeks I'll see new faces. A lot of the time I see the same people that come over and over again. And these people have quickly become, it's hard to describe it, but it feels like more than friends. It feels like like-minded souls, people who our different genders, races, sexualities, ages, all on different walks of life, all who have struggled or are still struggling with an eating disorder, who come each week to group, to listen, to empathize, to share their own story. It's almost unbelievable to me that a community like that exists, and it's literally 2 miles away from my house. Each week after going, my spirits soar. They go to like level 1,000. There's something so beautiful and so validating about being able to connect with someone and look at them in the eyes who has a level of understanding of what you're going through. I really wish I had started going years earlier, but regardless, I'm so incredibly grateful for it and the people I've met there. Stay tuned for more of entry one of the Eating Disorder Diaries right after this break. Okay, guys, so I want the last segment of the show to be uplifting and end on a positive note. I'm sure listening to an episode like that can get pretty heavy, so I want to end each of the episodes with two things: a recommendation, and in an effort for more self-love, a positive affirmation. I'm going to ask each of the guests I interview for a recommendation of theirs as well, and the recommendation could be anything from a book to a show to a creator, a product, song, anything. So let's start with mine. If anyone in my support group is listening to this, get ready to hear a broken record because I can't stop talking about it in my day-to-day life either. But my first recommendation is a YouTube channel called Great Meditation. I'll link it for you guys in the show notes. When I was living alone during COVID and wanting to prioritize my healing, I set a goal for myself to meditate and journal every day for a month straight. I didn't really know where to start, though. The journal was one of those blank canvas notebooks from Michaels that I bought when we first went into lockdown for COVID because I feel like everyone was doing random arts and crafts. And that's what I did. The notebook didn't last long for my art endeavors, but it did make a good journal. Every day I would journal about the guided meditations I did, which I found on this YouTube channel, Great Meditation. They have mostly 10-minute guided meditations, which was perfect for me to use before logging into work at the time. And I still listen to them almost daily today. I feel better when I do. And they're just awesome. They're all these guided meditations, usually with a message about taking positive energy for the day or doing breath work or observing yourself. But the channel breaks them out into meditations for manifesting, positive energy, nighttime meditations, self-love, and even more. They have a ton of content. The narrator has this calming, trance-like voice, and the meditations really became a game changer for me. Imagine being able to take 10 minutes out of your day to just be present with yourself and your breath with no distractions, and to intentionally visualize taking in positive energy throughout your body. It's had really huge impacts for me, and it's been a major tool for me and my life in recovery. So to wrap up the show, I'm going to name something that I love about myself. I just recently turned 30. I'm an Aquarius, and I was really excited to turn 30. It felt like a huge milestone for me. And I think something I love about myself is that I'm very goal-oriented. I did a dry January right before turning 30 this year. I committed a month to meditating and journaling, and now I do it every day. And I've just gotten really good at setting and meeting my goals. Hence the reason the Eating Disorder Diaries is here today. So that's it. That's all I've got today. Until next time, I want to thank you guys so much for listening to my story. I have so much more I want to share, so I'll talk to you soon. This podcast was written and produced by me, Amy Geckel, with music from Coma Media and Lo-Fi Hour. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at The Eating Disorder Diaries for updates. And if you want someone to talk to, you can email me at TheEatingDisorderDiaries@gmail.com. Remember to take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.